I want him to brand me as an opera star, as the next up and coming. Pastor. Pastor. You know what? So this has been the Javon Show.
Who keeps you laughing with all the jokes?
It's JV.
Who keeps it real around all your folks?
It's JV.
You've been looking and what do you know? Congrats, you tapped into the Javon Show. Who keeps you laughing with all the jokes?
It's JV.
Who keeps it real around all your folks?
It's JV.
No matter the outlook, who give you some hope? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Javon Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Javon Show. New intro, huh? Yeah, he does. Yeah, he did. So listen, we're going to have an amazing opportunity today because we have the pastor in the house. But before we bring in the pastor to talk about pastoral things, I need you to do a couple of things. I need you to like today's show, and then you're going to recognize and realize that you're not that selfish.
So then you're going to love today's show. Oh, yeah. You're going to love today's show. So you might as well love it now because you're going to love it in a few minutes. And then once you love today's show, then I need you to go ahead and share today's show because sharing is caring and caring is important in this world. I'm going to tell you about today's interview. Today's interview is going to be hot, amazing, and fantastic. As you saw at the beginning, we have a Marcus Collective artist on. Let me tell you about the Collective. I've been trying to join the Collective for a while now and just still not good enough. It has to do with the inability to sing, I believe, and then it just kind of trickles from there. But I'm going to make my way. I figure if I interview all of the Collective, he'll run out and say, well, I don't have anybody else to be interviewed on the Collective. And I'll say, well, you have one more. I'll interview for the Collective and be part of the Collective. Because, I mean, who doesn't want to be collected? So that's what we're going to do. We're gonna keep making our way to the Collective database. But there is someone who was good enough to make the Collective, and he's on the show today, Pastor Mark Collier. Pastor, how are you doing today, sir?
What's up, Javon? How are you, man? I'm doing well. I am doing really well.
You're doing fantastic, man. You made it. You made it into the Collective.
Mama, I made it. In the words of Linda Clark Cole, I made it out all right.
What did the song say? Millions didn't make it, but you was one of the ones who did.
One of the ones. Come on here. It just takes one.
Just takes one. So we start every show the way we start every show. So we have to start it with you, and then I get to go into the good stuff. But but where we start is, who is Pastor Mark Collier?
Well, Pastor Mark Collier is a son. He is a husband. I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Pastor Ashley. I am a pastor and an overseer of young pastors and churches. I pastor a church in Wilmington, Delaware called Freedom Nation Live. And I am a father. I have three beautiful, amazing, talented, feisty, strong-willed children, two daughters and one son. I am a recording artist. I'm a worship leader. I am an on-air radio personality. I am a songwriter and a vocal coach. I run a nonprofit, and I do counseling for and relationship coaching for young men and for young marriages with my wife. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Okay, so I guess the better question is, what doesn't Pastor Mark Collier do? Are you a bus driver?
I don't fight anymore.
Except
for the spirit, you know, because if you met me a couple of years ago, you know, I might have met somebody out in the street if they rubbed me the wrong way. So I'm just glad about that testimony that I'm not running from the police anymore for fighting in the middle of the movie's parking lot. So you
would have been like the evangelist who was talking about, you know, come up on a husband in Atlanta and see what's going to happen to you.
And see, the reality is, if you have to do all of that, baby, it's already problems going on either way. Because I don't have to. I don't have to announce who my wife is.
You know? So, or what you gonna do if somebody tries to come at her?
Oh, I think if you make your presence very clear, people don't try me and my wife.
There it is.
It's the way that you carry yourself. It's the atmosphere that you invite around you. You attract what you are. I don't have those issues.
Okay, we're going to have fun today then, because I've got some questions and we're going to talk about it all today. So you do many hats. You wear a lot of, you're taking place and doing a lot of things mm-hmm. for ministry and for your life and for your family. What's the most important thing that you do right now? What's the most important thing to you?
Being a husband and a father. I think that the stabilization of our community as a people really begins in the home. And one of my top priorities is being able to be a good husband and a better father so that I can raise stable individuals that will be able to impart the purpose of God and the purity of humanity into the rest of the world. And so that is of the utmost importance to me. I organize my entire life around being able to be present for my wife and my children, because my stability and my emotional well-being and my presence provides healing and comfort and direction and security for them. And so if I'm unstable, then they're unstable, and then they're reproducing instability in the rest of the world. And so that is my priority. Like, it's my wife and my children.
What's been the hardest part about being a father, a husband, and an artist?
Being aware of your own selfishness. Because as an artist, you know, I've been singing. I did my first concert when I was in the fifth grade. I did my first live recording at 12 years old, and started traveling at 12, singing background for people. Been doing tours since I was in high school and in college. And so my whole life was centered around applause and getting dressed and going on stages and, you know, taking pictures and doing interviews. And so one of the things that was one of the clear indications that my wife was my wife, because one time when we were dating, she let me know that she was not a fan. Because you can bring that fandom into your household, you know. And I know even for some people that and bishops and different things, I know there are people who make their spouses call them by their titles. Bishop is here. I'm just like, oh, Bishop, who's like, oh, that's your husband. Well, what is his name? Oh, we revere the man of God. All right. Well, you know, if you wash his drawers, you should be able to call him by his first name. Yeah. It made me go on a journey to realize in what ways I was selfish and what ways I had gotten used to people applauding my presence, and that I wasn't so great in every area. And so people were so used to seeing being enamored by my gifting or enamored by my preaching that I had to learn how to communicate. I had to learn how to be have integrity. I had to learn how to be patient. I had to learn how to be gracious. I had to learn how to admit when I was wrong, you know. So it was just, and learn that everything was not about me. And sometimes my what was a priority to me was not necessarily a priority to my household. And so I had to shift my priority. So it really made me aware of my own selfishness.
But that selfishness is what makes you successful as an artist, correct? Or am I just doing this thing?
I think you have to be self-focused, mm-hmm. okay? You have to be you have to be aware of your own value, and you have to be aware of your own goals and your own standards, and become focused on those goals, because selfishness will cause you to crucify other people for your own survival. And as a secular artist, I could do that, but I am, you know, resolved to preach the gospel. And so whether I'm singing, whether I'm, you know, preaching, in just in my daily interaction with you, I need to show a level of compassion and concern for souls. And so I can't sacrifice people for my own survival. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you have to really be self-focused and learn your value and realize what is important to you.
Wow. Tell me about being 5 years old and being up in the lights. Because, of course, you know, you're getting started early. So you're kind of coming into this fresh, you know, you haven't really been tainted by life experiences and things like that. What do you remember about being 5 years old and being up on stage?
I remember the mix of people's response to me that kind of shaped my reality in life. Because everybody that sees you in a limelight, you know, I've realized at a young age that adults can be very mean people. And that's what I learned at 5 years old. I was targeted by some people because they did not like the response of other people. And I would get stuff like where there was a bunch of people saying like, oh, you're amazing. Oh, look at you. Like, you can sing, you can dance. Oh, I felt Jesus, you know. And then you got other people that says, oh, you thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I'm gonna show you who you are. You know, people that try to keep you and put you in a child's place. Oh, you light skinned with curly hair. Like, these are the kind of comments that I received, you know,
as a 5 year old,
as a 5 and a 6 and a 7 year old. Yeah. You know, you think you so such a much, and can't nobody do, you can't do no wrong, but you ain't what everybody thinks that you are. You know,
at least it prepares you for getting that when you're 43. Or was that just me?
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, continue on. You just hit me with that one. I heard that 2 days ago, so it just hit real good. So please keep going. Don't let my issues taint this interview.
So it causes you to be aware it grows you up in a very fast way. I experienced I became an old soul. To be honest, it took a lot of the innocence away from my life.
What do you feel you missed out on?
Unknowing stuff. Like, there was stuff that I was not prepared to know at that age. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm a very transparent person, and so you seem to be one as yourself. I had been molested in the church at a very young age. And it was because of people paid attention to me, and someone made it their goal to violate me. And so, you know, it made me aware of people's realities that I was not prepared for. It made me have adult issues with a child mind, you know, and it took my innocence away. It gave me anxiety. It made me worry. It made me fearful. It made me sometimes have issues with my own identity, as far as you try to dumb yourself down because you don't want the attention, because you realize what comes with it. And sometimes it will cause you to run from the reality of who you are because you don't feel like people coming to violate you. And so that was my reality, and it kind of focused and skewed my life in a lot of different ways.
Because of that experience, when your children come to you and they say, you know, I'm young, but I want to get out there, is that something that you kind of pause, or you kind of hesitate in letting your children, if they wanted to get out there and experience something, you know, if they say that they have the gift and they want to go out on the road, they want to start using their gifts to tour around. What would you have said to your 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, if they came to you with that type of ambition?
I would definitely have to really pray about it. You know, my 4-year-old daughter came up to me the other week after church and told me, and she said, Daddy, it's my turn. And I said, and I felt that in many different dimensions. And she told me that she wanted to sing. And so I was just like, okay. And so it was her mother's birthday the next Sunday. And my four-year-old learned a song from beginning to end, walked up on stage, and I passed her the mic and I allowed her to sing. I think for me, I would necessarily not, I'm not going to pass my pain on to my children or make them live in my fear. I'm going to trust the wisdom and the discernment of Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me. But will I make sure that I create opportunities that are in safe environments for them? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, because my parents have allowed me to pursue my dreams as my life. And so, you know, I would want to provide that same thing for my child and just trust the wisdom and the discernment. My parents are not musical. Mm-hmm. My parents have no idea what the world of arts and entertainment brought. I know that there were situations and circumstances that would have been worse for me if my mother had not been a praying person. There were different opportunities that my mother just said, I don't feel right about this. And, you know, and so I would trust in the same Holy Spirit that kept me to keep my children.
That's important. I don't know what the Holy Spirit did with my children. I'm going to be honest, because I had a goal for each of my children. I have three, 19, 16, and 9. And the 19-year-old was supposed to be a bass player. She was supposed to be a musician. She was supposed to be the praise and worship leader of my church choir. And she was supposed to be the psalmist on the organ, the Twinkie Clark, if you will. And no, she can't play an instrument, can't sing, can't dance. Anyway, so then there's a 16-year-old, right? 16-year-old. Oh, you know what? I grew up a baseball player. I was a fantastic baseball player. Had a wicked strikeout, could hit the ball over the fence, could run and get him. Started my son. Oh, he's a lefty. Oh, okay, then. He's going to be a bad baseball player. We put him out on the mound. He gets out on the mound. He throws the ball. Ball's moving all over the place. He's going to be an amazing baseball player. And then he picks up a basketball and the rest is history.
Wow.
So I guess my question is, what amount of therapy can you give me to accept the fact that my daughter isn't going to be a high-paid musician and that my son is not going to be taking over the legacy of baseball that I have planted inside of him and instead doing this dribbly-drabbly stuff?
Well, you know, there's a saying that sometimes you will reap seeds from fields that you haven't sown in. And so you can just look at the situation is that my children are going to give me legacy from stuff that I was never participated in. And so you just love them unconditionally and rejoice. Like, for instance, my father was the star athlete of the entire city. He, even as a child, he was the athletic director in the school district. You know, he was the athletic director of the basketball team and the baseball team and the football team. He was in the newspaper, played for Upward Bound, you know, went into the Navy, you know, did Navy SEAL training, you know, professional award-winning bodybuilder. I grew up to be a fat opera singer.
Not what your father had envisioned, is what I'm taking.
Not what your father had envisioned, you know. So, you know, because of my stature, I'm always even, you know, you don't know my story, but I used to weigh 614 pounds.
Bless the name.
And, but even then, because of my genetic build, you know, my wife used to always tell people, like, my husband can run. Like, don't ever mess with my husband. He's very fast. And I could always run no matter what size I was, and I ran fast. And so, you know, even as a young child, I was fast and I was always stocky. So they just knew, like, oh, he's going to be a quarter, he's going to be a running back. Like, and I was just like, no, I want to sing.
Yeah.
You know, so, but my dad, he supported me. You know, my dad, still, you know, recently I had to have surgery, and my dad, he became my driver and drove me to all of my preaching and singing engagements. And as if I sing, my dad, he weeps, you know, he can bench press about 375 pounds. But when I start singing, he just becomes a puddle of water, you know. So it is just the reality that our children are created to birth in us an understanding of life in a different way. So, you know, you're going to receive harvest from fields that you've never sown in. So,
well, maybe they'll give me grandchildren that'll be, you know, choirs and bands and singers and
for sure.
And a baseball. I just want a baseball player. That's all. Ooh, he was lefty though, Pastor. He's a lefty, lanky too, 6'5" at 16 years old, and anyway. I keep going to try to get my therapy from you, Pastor, and that's not what you're here for. What you're here for is to promote the fact that you are releasing music. Can you tell us about the music that has been birthed out of you?
So we just released a single called You Are the King that is available on iTunes.
And yeah, we played that before the interview.
And that was the Christmas video that we put out, because it's, you know, like a Christmas type of song. So it just came out at the end of November. But we are preparing for March the 31st, the Pure Oil Live Experience. It is my first time in almost a decade of doing any live recording content, concert experience of any type. I had taken a step back from the industry for a while, we are doing that in Philadelphia, March the 31st, at the Higher Ground International Ministries. The address is 7860 Eva Street in Philadelphia, and the doors open at 7:30 p.m. And so we are preparing ourselves for that, myself and my team, and of course Marcus, he's flying in from Chicago, and another one of the pastors in the city, he and I work on a production team together, and so he's doing the musical production, I'm doing the vocal production. It's all of the music is original that I have literally been sitting on for almost the last 10 years. So we are really excited about it. I am excited about it. And that's what we're preparing to do. And we will be launching the Pure Oil Tour that will be taking place in this summer, which will be coming to Dover and Pottstown and Rochester, New York, and hopefully adding some more cities as we prepare. And we're going to record different content in each city as we build this compilation of worship experiences from across the country.
It sounds like a great experience, and there's a couple of things I want to hit on. For this event, March 31st, Higher Ground International, like you said, Pastor Steve and Wanda Martin. I understand that you do have some Martins that's going to be in the house, but why wasn't Javon Martin included in this team? You know, I'm going to tell you about this Marcus Collins. He will just do anything to get any and every Martin. He'll give you a first name Martin on your program, a middle name Martin on your last name on your program, a last name Martin on your program, but he will not put Javon Martin on your program. What do we have to do? How do we pray over Marcus Collins to get a Martin on a program?
I think that Javon Martin have to, you know, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous avail
much. That's what I keep missing out on, the fervent part.
The fervent. So you have to be a little bit more aggressive in your prayer. You know, because fervent means to pray with passion and fervor. You know, so you gotta, you know, just be like, call out his name and be like, God, in the name of Jesus, shake Marcus. You gotta do it like that and make him hear Lord. The name. Yeah, you know, let him hear the name. So, you know, and, you know, just start shifting the atmosphere. You gotta move your hands like that, you know, and start chopping stuff down, you know. And breaking it down, and you know, and
he's too big to shift, so we're gonna have to figure out something else.
I said, don't allow people to deny your place, okay?
I'm not, but I tell you this though, when I see him at the Stellas, it's gonna be one. I already told him. I'm coming for him. I told Michael Gibney that I'm going to pray and love him to death.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's it. Hey, do you? I know you know a bunch of Colliers. Do you know an Ashley?
Yes, that is my wife. That's like the sweetest thing in my life. She's the reason that I wake up in the morning. She's the reason that I go to sleep at night. She is the thing that invites me home. She stays on my mind. You know, I'm not going to keep talking about her because...
No. Keep talking about her. I'm going to let you get all the points.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying because I will just, you know, I'll just journey off into a world and then next thing you know, she'll be pregnant.
But you'll have a band at that point.
Yeah, you know.
Get the band together.
So we're just going to let God be great. But I love my wife. She is everything. She is such... I couldn't have asked for somebody that is more sensitive and supportive to the purpose of God. Because what we do ain't easy.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
And my wife is so secure in who she is that I don't have to... I don't have to be trying to figure out how I can accomplish God's will and keep my home intact because my wife is walking in sync with me. She prays, she trusts me, she's my accountability partner, she covers me, she sees things in me that I don't see within myself. She makes sure that I am fully, you know, covered, and she can see things in other people. She's very discerning, and I've learned how to trust her wisdom, and I appreciate my wife, and people know, niggas know not to try me about my wife.
Are you coming for that ass? I get it. Here's the thing that we do on this show. It's called the Creative Break. Because she said it and she meant it, Pastor, when she said it, is all I'm saying.
I mean, didn't she mean it?
She meant every word of it.
Out of order, but God bless her. We all have our weak moments. Help her, Lord.
So listen, we do this thing called the Creative Break. And what it is it gives people an opportunity to hear from you in a way that they've never heard from you before. So we know that you know how to do praise and worship. We know you know how to lead us to the throne of grace and lay us prostrate and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned something earlier, fat kids singing opera.
Mm-hmm.
People probably don't know that part of that side of you, that you, mm-hmm. that you have this gift of operatic singing. And I happen to be a huge fan of opera. Sarah Brightman is one of my favorite artists. Let me get this woman laughing off of my screen because we're going to give her something to shout about in a moment. So what we do here on the Creative Break is we allow you that opportunity to showcase that talent. So I'm going to allow you about 30 seconds to figure out which of your favorite opera songs you're going to share for us today. And while you're getting that together, I'm going to go ahead and sing one of my favorite opera songs.
Okay.
And now listen, you won't be able to get to the level that I'm going to attain, I'm going to rise to. I'm going to get somewhere where I don't want you to try to match there. Okay? I just want you to do the best that you can, Pastor, and doing your opera. But I'm going to go ahead and do mine and letting you get prepared while you're getting yours together.
All right.
I had to prepare. I wasn't planning on singing opera today, but I'm going to sing this opera today because, and here we go. Don't come for Ashley, or he'll come for that ass.
My Lord.
Don't come for Ashley, or he'll come for that ass. Find your own queen, and let that be yours, but don't come for he'll come for that.
Amazing. This is a lot. This is a lot. I am a lecturer and a preserver of African American spiritual music. Mm-hmm. So I will just do a little bit of Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. Is that all right?
Absolutely. Okay. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long way from home. A long way from home.
My God. Would you ever do an album with opera?
That was one of the things that I would love to do, is a album of classical Negro spirituals. That is really a passion project of mine. And I would love to do it with full orchestra, all that stuff. I have different arrangements of different ones that I've done. Yeah, but I have been a visiting lecturer at a lot of universities over the last couple of years. And I do, you know, presentations and small lectures and master classes on African-American spiritual music. But yep.
That was so good, Pastor.
Oh, thank you, man.
Do you ever bust out in that, with like in the pulpit or after a
sermon? Absolutely. In the midst of praise and worship, in the midst of sermonic, whatever I feel like, you know, because it's a part of who I am. That's a part of my worship to God. And so some Sundays, that's just where I am, and I will do it. And it will wreck a church. You hear me?
Yes, sir. About to wreck me.
Yeah, and it will take us into a place. I tell people all the time, because people, you know, we are so immature in our understanding of God. You know, as the Bible literally says that we know in part, so we prophesy in part. So each of us has a part that we operate in. But I think that sometimes people get so stuck in genres and styles that they don't forget that God is connected to the heart of an individual. And so whether somebody gets up and sings CCM, choir music, if you are anointed, you should be anointed in anything that you do. And so this is an area of anointing in a part of my truest form of worship to God.
That is truly amazing. You are truly a gift. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to have had this time with you, for you sharing with my group and my people and the listeners and the viewers. For those who want to get in touch with Pastor Mike Collier to learn more about him, to figure out who he is, and hey, before you give this out, I want to make sure people know, do it respectfully, because Ashley ain't no punk either. So, you know, reach out. Watch how you reach out. So, Pastor, how do they get in touch with you?
I am available on all social media platforms at The Official Mark Collier. And it is simply my name, MarkCollier. Then, of course, for all booking inquiries, you can reach out to the Marcus Collins Collective at gmail.com. You can follow the Marcus Collins Collective on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. They have all of our information for all of the artists that are a part of the collective. And so I'm available on Facebook, Instagram, at The Official Mark Collier, and YouTube. I'm starting to build my YouTube channel as well. So that's how you can get connected with me.
And what about your MySpace? I'm just kidding. So, yes, for those who want to get in touch with him, please go find Pastor Mark Collier. He is available. He's ready to get booked. Marcus Collins has phone operators on standby. He's got a whole database of just a whole plank of phones. It's just a whole bunch of phones, old school phones, so you pick up and you say hello. Not them iPhone 14s in yellow. No. They got the real phones with the rotary dial. That's how old school the collective is. Keep playing with me, Marcus Collins. So listen, this has been
a fantastic. Marcus is doing branding for all types of people, so he can brand you as a radio and an on-air media personality.
I want him to brand me as an opera star, as the next up-and-coming. Pastor. Pastor. You know what? So this has been the Javon Show. that was the realest response to anything I've ever said at any time ever. So, Pastor, you gotta hear this. Before we go, you gotta hear this.
Count on me through thick and thin, a friendship that will never.
No, please stop.
Melissa when I came on, and she was awesome. So I don't know about what you're giving me now, Javon. But Melissa sounds like she's safe.
Now, Javon, you have heard the woman of God, okay? The answer is no, and don't ask her no more. Now.
And yet, I'm going to keep trying.
Listen, B.P. Winans is Jesus' baby cousin, so... You know, she eats at Jesus' house. I mean, because that woman is sick, okay?
They said if Cece said no, then just take that as it is.
Listen, because Jesus told her personally.
Personally, right? But you know what? I'm persistent. Okay.
Listen, the lady was persistent at the and she said even the dogs get the crumbs at the master's table. So keep persistent.
Okay. That's what I'm going to do. And then I will make it on Pastor Mark Collier's next album. Don't even have to say nothing. Don't even respond to that. This has been a fantastic show. We have had a great time. Pastor Mark Collier, thank you. Marcus Collector, thank you.